or was that that you would, you know, broadcast on the air playing your, like, your... This is September 10th, 1985. We're at the home of W.C. and
Dorinda
Baker and 1418 Northwest 60th Street in Miami. Test, test. Is it going to pick up both?
It does.
Okay.
I don't know. You may have to direct it more again.
Okay.
Hold on to. Oh, I can lean in. Nothing hurting but my arm, so the back is not hurting. So.
Okay. Well, this. Here, that should pick up.
Right.
Okay. Why don't we just start at the beginning a little bit before we get into the recording here in Miami? Why don't you go through again how you got started playing guitar? I like your story about you know, making the instrument with the chicken wire and so forth.
Definitely, I did that. I made it. Ripped up the chicken pan.
This was in
Live Oak Flyer.
When about how old were you? What year would this have been?
Oh, I was very young, at a very young age. I must have been around 9 years old or 10, somewhere like that. 9 or 10 years old. And rigged me up a box and put the wire on it, and there I was with it. Strumming, I'd get a sound out of it. And so my dad, he decided, otherwise he deserted the whole family. And we lived about 3 miles from town. And boys will be boys when the hate is going. They're going to play a little further out. So we found our way to town. We could hang around downtown a little with the rest of the kids. Playing around there, and the druggist taking a like to me and give me a job to a drugstore. And I stopped working around the drugstore. Must have was there near a week. And my dad, ex-boss, he came in. Down here it's called Florida Power and Light, but up around that section used to be Southern Utilities Light Company. Well, that's who my dad was working for. So his ex-boss walked in the drugstore and he knew me, he saw me. He said, "Hey boy," said, "what you doing in here?" I said, "I work here." And he never said another word to me. He walked back and called the druggist. "Hey, Buck Knight, come out here." "So where'd you get this boy from?" He said, "I found a little rascal playing out there in the street, taking a like to him and giving him a job here." I said, "Do you know him?" He said, "Sure I know him." He said, "Dad used to work for me before he left town." And he says, "All right." He said, "Now if he doesn't work out down here, send him right down there to me." He says, "I'll give him a job down there." But I stayed there. I stayed at that drugstore at Buck Knight. And he sent me to school, helped me to go to school. But there's a group, I'm part of the eight head of children out of the family. And back then it wasn't easy to go to school. You had to do this, you had to do this. I did so many things. One while I was working about 4 jobs. I did that twice in life. I came off to Pompano Beach and did the same thing. 4 jobs at one time.
But it was when you were working for the drugstore that you found a beat-up
guitar? I found an old guitar. Mr. Bucknight sent me out to deliver packages, medicine and whatnot all around Live Oak. You go in different section, north, east, west section. If you got things going south section, you take that south. But then someone was moving or doing something. Anyhow, they had a guitar. I saw that guitar sticking up in the trash can. And the back of it was off. I want you to know I laid those packages down and got that guitar from there and tried my best to play a tune on it. I fumbled around there. I must have fumbled around for about a couple hours, way longer than I should have stayed away from the store. So I went back to the drugstore. He had another stack of stuff going another direction. He says, where in the world you been, Willie? I says, so look what I got. He said, put that mess down. And get these packages out. I think that was about the fastest trip I ever made, delivering those packages. Because I'm trying to get back to the guitar. He didn't have no problem. I made some time this time. See, instead of hanging around out there with the guitar 3 or 4 hours, the guitar was in the store, and I went and dumped those packages and racked back. So I started tearing up a cigar box to get the nails out, to nail the bottom, and he helped me nail it on, fix it up. And long and end was getting off, holders and deliverers, boys was getting off 9 o'clock at night. Yes, I got off at 9 o'clock, and I sat outside there, but maybe I'm a little ahead of the story because after putting the, fixing the back on the guitar, I got on the bicycle and must have went about a quarter of a mile. Ran my fingers over the string of a fella had a guitar at a service station. Ran my fingers over 3 times and I kept that sound, that tone. I went back and tuned my guitar and I sat there. After I was off that night, I sat there in the back door around there until I got me a tune. And I went home to my mother. Now she wants to know where I've been staying out so late. I said, look at here. I showed her the guitar. So that's the way it is.
You told me on the phone that your mother sang spirituals?
Yes, she did. In fact, all of that whole family, her brothers, her sisters, her mother, my grandmother, they all. I came out of a Baptist family. And, well, I don't say I came out of one. I'm still part of it. See.
And did your mother play guitar at all?
My mother told me, not once, but several times, that she used to play an accordion. And look what a duo we could have made. But I, you know, yes, she played an accordion. So that's that.
So when you started teaching yourself to play guitar, did you start writing tunes right from the beginning, or what kind of music did you start playing?
I gotta admit, from whence I came, there wasn't nothing but the blues. See? And of course, I tried to do a lot of things. In fact, I could sing practically on anybody's style at that time. The late Gene Austin and the late American blue yodeler, the Jimmy Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I idolized that man. In fact, I played my way out of Phyllis jail once with that, doing one of Jimmy Rogers' number. Nobody knows about the jailhouse blues until you get between the four walls.
Right.
The old jailer man turned the big black key, that's when your spirit falls. Yes. And I thank God of one thing.
But it mentioned in the article that was written about you that you said you were a hobo kind of going to Chicago, is that right? And you were
going to Chicago
picking up music on the street?
No, what happened? I told him I must have been around then, I must have been around 16 years of age. And I hadn't been lying to my mother, but this foolish thing called love. I fell into this thing and I got deserted. It was a one-sided love affair.
Mm-hmm.
And anything can happen when it's like that. It's just like bringing a country mule to town. And so that's what happened. And that's when I went and lied to my mother. I hadn't been lying to her. But several times I got knocked off on the road. And each time I could see that lie, I told my mother I could just see that face. And I kept saying, Lord, if I ever get back home, I would never lie to my mother again. And I try to encourage all kids, young kids, I don't care who they are, white or black. I ain't got nothing to do with how you was born. I try to encourage them is get a word. And that will make you a man or woman.
Mm-hmm. But you did go to Chicago when you were a young man,
sure,
right?
I used to sleep out there in Washington Park.
This was when you were a teenager?
Poor born, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you now, I was 16 years old around that age.
Mm-hmm. And you heard some of the street singers, or you were playing on the streets of Chicago? Or?
I was just playing, trying to get rid of the blues. I was just playing.
To get rid of the blues, huh?
Yeah,
get
trying
rid of
your... trying to play to get rid of the blues. I had the blues.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been in love?
Yes.
You ever had it to go bad?
Yes.
Well, then you know what I'm talking
yes.
about. I ain't got
no I know. Way. You don't have to tell me.
How about you, huh?
Yeah.
So now you know.
Right. Well, did you hear any other singers in Chicago that sort of influenced you?
No. They tried from different clubs. People would come out in the park. Someone heard me out in the park playing and singing. And then they would go to a different club and tell people, hey, I got somebody. You ought to come out here and hear this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they was offering me jobs. I ain't want no job. I ain't mm-hmm. want no job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get rid of the blues.
Were you then singing your own
No.
Then, or were you singing other people's songs?
I was singing other people's songs. Gene Austin and Johnny Marvin. That's a guy nobody ever mentioned anymore, Johnny Marvin.
And were these just songs that you heard on the radio?
No, songs I'd heard on recordings, records.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from that. If a new song came today, a record came out today, I wouldn't go to bed until I write it out and be able to sing it
mm-hmm.
in school the next day. But they wasn't jumping out like a cotton mill is, a corn mill or something, continued records like it is today. Everybody's record, boom, boom, boom. Back then, it was creeping around with a record. You made a record this week? Well, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to rush back in there to say, well, see what's going on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Spend some time in there between.
So when did you come back to Florida?
I must have was out there for about 40 or some days out there. Because I was going everywhere. No, I just didn't stay in Chicago. I had a job offered to me. I saw an old white lady trying to cross the street in Chicago. And she couldn't, every time she tried to go across, the people looked like was stepping all on her. And I just wasn't brought up that way to see this thing. And the light would change, she was all humped over, and she'd look up and she had to step back. So I said, Miss, I said, you trying to cross the street? She said, yes, son. I said, well, when the light changed again, I said, I'll help you cross. So I helped her cross the street, got over to the other side, she stopped, looked at me, grabbed me by the arm, she says, son, so you don't live here, so where are you from? She said, you're from the South? I said, yes. What part? I said, I'm from Florida. She says, I could tell you wasn't from here. So you see how the people walk all over here? She says, now, come and go home with me. She says, I'll give you a job. Now come and go home with me. I'll give you something to eat. And that's what I wanted, was something
mm-hmm.
to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home with her. She said, now, I'll give you a place to stay. You don't have nothing to do but do dishes twice per day, and that was it. But I didn't want no job. After I packed my ribs back, you know, got them to going good, with packing that food behind my ribs, I just called and told her, I said, no, I'm not gonna be here. I'm gonna go.
Went back to Florida?
No, I went back to the park.
Oh.
And fumming around out there. Turning down jobs. So I decided the weather what put me out, ran me out of Chicago. You get the book of weather in Chicago in one day. It was so hot, my nose started bleeding. And they had ice water spigots all around on a certain section of town. I wrapped my handkerchief and put on my head to keep my nose from bleeding. After that, the wind started blowing. After that, here come the sleep. Everything, the whole darn thing come down on me in one day. I said, now that I know I'm not gonna be here. So I got picked up one or two more guys who were sleeping out in the park. They was gonna show me how to get out of town. What train to catch. Caught one train, we went right around town for a while, thinking we was on our way out for Detroit. That didn't happen. I wind up knocking on the same door I had knocked before to get something to eat. The lady asked me, said, weren't you here this morning? I said, yes, ma'am. So she gave me something to eat again. And I wasn't actually bumming. I was willing to work for it. Cut wood, do yard, or whatnot they want me to do. Because I was taught in life, you work for what you want. Three ways. You work for it, ask for it, or find it. Mm-hmm. Or else don't meddle people's stuff.
So you only spent like 40 days in Chicago, is what?
Not 40 days in Chicago, 40 days on the road.
40 days on the road.
Yeah, up and down the road.
So I wanted to know what year was it when you finally came back to Florida?
I came back in the same year that I went.
Which was when?
That was back in the 30s.
I
can't really add it or point out the designated year, but it's been a long time. I've forgotten it now, but I do remember something. I do remember that I made it like in the frozen to death between Chicago and Detroit in a boxcar. And it was so cold. I was so cold until the train stopped before we got into Detroit. I had an ex-schoolmate. She had gotten married and was living in Detroit. And I was trying to get to her house. But the train stopped out in the woods somewhere. The boys got out, got some stuff out of the boxcar, made a fire. They had to come back to get me to lay me outside that fire. You know?
You were that cold.
Oh, sure, I was icicle. We landed in Detroit the next morning early. I went all around Ford Place and every place else. Oh, I did a lot of things out there. I played in Toledo, Ohio, I think it was. I played for people around the baker shop. They give me loaves of bread, hot bread. You can take a whole loaf of bread if it's good and hot, mash it up like this, down to nothing. Oh, man, I eat some loaves of bread. So then I went on over to a friend of mine, ex-schoolmate, went to her house, and she gave me, she and her husband had me come in and wash up. I eat up, and I went to bed. He says, I want you to be here when I come in this afternoon. I stayed in that bed all day. He came home that night. His wife woke me up. I ate. He said, now, he says, you can go with me tomorrow morning if you want a job. He says, I can get you a job with me. I said, I don't want no job. I'm going home. I took off again.
Well, when did you start writing your own songs then?
I had several love affairs that go bad. And I guess, in fact, that's when I really started. Now, I come back into Pompano Beach. You're asking about writing love songs. And when did I start writing my own material? There's a blind boy in Pompano Beach now named Freddie Roach. And, He plays piano. He's an ex-schoolmate of Ray Charles. And he and I used to play and sing together.
When would this have been?
Well, that's back in the latter parts of the 30s, the early 40s. So then we came up with the tune I did, Going Back to Pompano and Knock on My Baby's Door. And from there on out, been rigging songs, putting them together.
Is that one of the first ones you remember writing?
Yeah.
Can you give me an example how it goes? Or you can't do it without the guitar?
No, it's going to be hard for me because really I parked that aside many years ago.
Okay.
And anyhow, Freddie and I, we were the first two blacks to appear on the radio down in this area. On the radio, you know. It used to be kind of real hard for blacks to do anything, you know. And so we made it WFTL station. The first, that's Fort Lauderdale. We were the first to, I was first in of many things.
What was his name, Freddie?
Rogers, Roses.
R-O-Z-I-E-R.
R-O-Z-I-E? E-R.
R-O-E-R. So you appeared on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale in, when would that have been?
That was back in the latter part of the 30s, early 40s, somewhere like that.
And when you say you appeared on the radio, what did you do? What kind?
We got up and sang and played other people material. Just like I'm going to do Saturday night now. I'm going to play other folks' material. I'm not going to play my material. In fact, my band really don't know my material.
So, was this like a weekly broadcast? Was there a name for the show that you were on? Do you remember? Was it?
Yes, it was just like DJs now. Get up there and spin records and play and talk and whatnot.
How did you get involved in doing that? I mean, was it somebody asked you?
The people, yeah, sure, we were invited.
Had they heard you playing in a nightclub, or how would they have known about you?
No, they didn't hear me play in a nightclub. They heard me playing down around Pompano Beach. Things like that.
Where were you playing in Pompano Beach? Would you have been playing just
any corner I could stand on and play.
Outside then?
Yeah, right. And occasionally somebody would hear us, and some of the well-to-do people would have parties. They wanted Freddie and I to play. We'd play a sightseeing boats all up around Boca Raton, the Millionaires Club and whatnot, out to Captain Knight's Island and Pompano Beach. See, we were doing a lot of things like that. You name it, we'd play. See?
So they approached you to do a broadcast on the radio station then. Is that?
Yes, live, yes, right.
And how long did you do that?
What do you mean how long?
Was it just a one-time thing, or did
we did it once or twice. We did it for about 3 or 4 weeks, I think it was. And that was it.
And then you did also a broadcast here in Miami on
WMBM.
Yes.
I didn't do a broadcast. I went, like I said, about the first, I was first in many things. Like Fred and I was the first in Fort Lauderdale, WFTL station, first blacks to play a radio station there. I was the first black, it's believed that I'm the first black recorded here in town. They hadn't yet built a recording studio. I cut my first record to WMBM station. And guess what? Freddie came down and was on that with me. Played piano on that for me.
And when would this have been?
Why don't you stop this right now and I'll let you hear just a little of that that Freddie and I did, if you want to put that on tape. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Now, Freddie, this was cut at WMBM radio station. And Freddie Rogers came down from Pompano Beach to play piano with me in this particular piece.
This is one of your songs?
Yes, this is one of my songs, Changing Blues. corner playing his piano. Well, I'm right there with him on the guitar. Oh, lordy, lordy, oh, lord, lordy, lord. Oh, lordy, lord, oh, lord, lordy, lord. Lord, have mercy, please have mercy on me. Baby, 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 why don't you change your way? Baby, 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 why don't you change your way? Well, if I were you, I'd change my way today. When I first met you, you're sweet as any girl could be. But you have changed and meet as any girl can be. Oh, lordy, lordy, oh, lord, lordy, lord. Oh, lordy, lordy, oh, lord, lordy, lord.
So that was that, yeah. That song you cut for WMBM, right?
I cut it for Henry Stone. That's where I cut it for. But the place, location was the station, WMBM radio station.
Who was Henry Stone?
Well, he was the guy that was had this, that I'd signed a contract to record for.
Did he record a number of local people?
He went on afterward to record a lot of local people, sure. And I'm responsible for bringing him a lot of talent. See, I did.
You brought him a lot of talent?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I was working in a club when Stone found me. Someone told him about me. I was playing in Hallandale to a club. A very famous club was known as Ben's Place in Hallandale. I worked that club for 5 years.
When would that have been? I know approximately.
It was back in the 40s.
And why was it was famous? What was it famous for? Just for
entertainment or nightclubs?
Mostly blues or all different kinds of things?
Well, blues. And bebop was out long in there, and I went in there playing the blues. He had an 8-piece band. Ben had an 8-piece band there, and, but they was playing bebop music. Mm-hmm. You'd hit a lick, or play a note, and talk things over with your buddy, and then you'd play another note, bebop. So that's, it wasn't doing the club any good. By that time, we had been playing up in Boca Raton.
Is that you and Freddie? Is that what you mean by
that? I had a group, yes, I had a group.
You had a group?
Yeah.
What was your group called?
The Swing Masters.
And was this a blues band or?
Sure, listen, I've been, that's a, That's been my bag.
Well, was that your first group then? You played with Freddie Rosen. He was playing piano and you were playing guitar, right?
Freddie and I had played together, but eventually we drifted apart.
And then you started forming your own groups?
Yes, I started, but not just like that. What had happened, I had a jumping joint of mine in Pompano Beach. It was called the Baker's Place, 312 Hammond Road. And do you know what happened? I played up there the first of this year in Pompano Beach. And I played in another club. They got the number that I used to have, 312 Hammond Road. And I don't understand how they switched and swagged up. Well, I don't know. The whole world been switching and swagging. So what is the number for them to change? However, I used to take my guitar and play along with the jukebox. I used to play the bluesy thing with the jukebox. I'd play some of the ink spot things with the jukebox. And anything that would fit my pattern, or that was it, I'd play it. There was a lot of jump tunes out, and I was playing with a lot of jump numbers and stuff. And usually on the weekend, I mean, the house was packed. I've known people just shake, go right, get the house rocking, they go right, shook the whole bottom out of that, the floor now.
This was up in Pompano?
Yeah, this is in Pompano, my place. I ran it for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. And your place was called?
The Baker's Place. Baker's Place.
You're going to hate this question, but when was this? In the 40s?
I'm going to let somebody else tell you now. Yes, it was back there in the 40s.
We're getting real close to the end of this tape.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe we'll just let it run out and put on another one.
Well, we need to keep saying something about it. You need to... So, I don't know, what happened?
So did you have a house band at your place?
No, I was playing my guitar with the jukebox.
Okay.
I was playing with the jukebox. And usually when I close the place up, I just load my car up with my customers. And three or four, see, I had a taxi stand as well.